All right, guys, week 17, arguably the last best GPP slate of the year. Excited to have Andrew Wiggins from ETR joining me today to talk through some of his DFS process, how he's been feeling about this slate, and we will dive into all of the GPP angles and contrarian points. Let's do it.
I suffer from a debilitating condition known as atropic chalkitis.
Peter's one of the greatest depositors I've ever seen.
Trust the process. Let's go. Let's go.
I got auto match with Levitan. This is bullshit.
If I just go the other way in that 66, I win all the money. All the money.
If I had 150 lineups, I'd win too.
Process over results.
A bitch go crazy. I don't know which one of these my baby. Bust out AP, cut spot bullets in your head like KD. Bust it, bitch go bust it. And I had 10 points with me in Russia.
Hey everyone.
Andrew Wiggins, welcome to the show. I'm surprised you're available on New Year's Eve. I figure Fish would be doing like a residency at Madison Square Garden tonight or something.
Yeah, there's this little pandemic going around.
Oh, I haven't heard. I have not heard.
They should be doing four shows. They canceled all of them, but they're doing a show to no audience. They've never done that before. So there is a Fish stream tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Do you subject your family to that? Do you throw that on the big screen and say, forget watching the ball countdown, we're watching a Fish show?
We will be watching it. My wife is furious. She shed a tear when I told her they were still playing because she knew that they were canceled. So yeah, she puts up with me. God bless her.
You saw, was it Fish or Grateful Dead that you saw in Vegas earlier this year?
That was Fish, yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Nice. I have still not ever seen them live, but it does seem like an experience I would like to have.
Yeah, you got it. You got to. It's fun. Like awesome. Levitan doesn't even like the music and he just goes to party.
Well, but then I listen to Levitan on the solo pod and he's like, I don't even know, what am I supposed to do at a concert? Just stare at these people play. That guy doesn't have any fun, Andrew. How is your GPP year been going for you? Obviously having a great year over at ETR, but kind of now that we have most of the season in the rearview mirror, how have things been going for you?
Yeah, it's been an all right year. I got off to a pretty good start and then I've been kind of dry of late, but still got 2 weeks left to hit a big one. I haven't had any huge scores, but just kind of chugging along. Like my main game is the Thunderdome and I had a second place finish for 40K, I think, something like that. So that was good. But yeah, it's been like a dry month or so. So they got this 2K game on DraftKings this weekend and I'm going to fire six bullets at that and maybe can take down a million.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. I think for Tilt Space, we're going to put a couple in that contest. So I think it's 2,222 and what is it, like 3,000 some entries?
Yeah, maybe not even. And it's a good payout. It's like a million to first, but then it's decent grade down, like 400, 300, 200, I think. So a better payout than you normally see for the one million up top.
Will your lineups obviously you're going to have more than your Thunderdome, but like, would you toss your Thunderdome lineup in that? Or are you going to build, uniquely for that contest?
I don't know. I don't even know if they're running a Thunderdome this week. They probably are, but sometimes they make it really small and they have a game like that. I haven't looked, but it depends on the week. Like sometimes you can get by with lineups in the Thunderdome that I think you can run in bigger stuff. Like I think a better answer would be, they run that 4-4-4 every week. So sometimes I would run it in that. But usually I would just run different ones or not play the 4-4-4. So it just kind of depends on the setup. And this week, like wide receiver is really weak and there's a couple running backs that are good. I don't know. It's a tough slate. I haven't really figured out how to attack it yet.
Yeah. And I assume you guys are recording Establish the Show tonight to walk through everything.
Yeah. We're doing that in 2 hours, I think, or maybe 3 hours. Yeah. 3 PM Eastern. So 3 hours from now.
Nice. Yeah. And, are you still playing a lot on FanDuel? Or are you still?
I basically didn't play FanDuel at all this year. I always thought the edge in FanDuel, at least in cash, going back from when I started playing there, was you would play we called them the God tier running backs, and there would usually be like three of them you could play, and you'd play those, and maybe there would be four. There wouldn't be that many of them, so you'd play them. You'd play one in your flex, and like people would lose a lot of projection points by not playing those running backs. Of course, this is more of a cash discussion, but that's kind of gone away. And now they've priced up the God tier. There's not like, at most there's one or two God tier running backs a week, and then they've priced them up over 10K. Doesn't really make sense to play them. It's just kind of a different setup. I, you know, the edge has been going down every year, but that was like the one thing I would point to on FanDuel, like, well, at least people aren't playing the running backs they should be playing, and that's not there. So I don't know. It's just kind of like, it's not fun to build on FanDuel. I thought, you know, there'd be like maybe one or two 2v2s that you're looking at, and like everyone would have the same team. Not that it doesn't happen sometimes on DraftKings, but I just didn't find it fun on FanDuel, and I wasn't doing well for the first month, so I just stopped playing there.
Yeah, I've always said too, like I want to be playing in more of these contests. I'm seeing some of the overlay and stuff on Yahoo and knowing I should be getting over there, but it's just like, it's one, hard to find the time. And two, it's just also, it's easier for me to just fully wrap my head around the DraftKings slate, watch
yep.
how the ownership and projections are changing and just feeling really good about it. And I don't think I'm smart enough to be able to juggle multiple sites and do content and stuff on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of effort to play multiple sites. I used to play, man, I mean, back when we had all the rinky-dink sites, I would play all those. I'd play Yahoo, you know, by rinky-dink, I mean like Fantasy Feud, and I don't even remember some of the other ones. Fantasy
Feud.
I've
never heard of that site.
Fantasy Feud was like, it was like a Draft Street knockoff. It was, I think they had stole the code or something. It was literally the exact same. It was just red instead of green. But yeah, so I used to play every single site, but man, I mean, that was a long time ago. Now it's definitely easier just to play one site. Like if you're a casual player, I think you're way better off just playing one site. Now, if you're a pro and you can put in all the time, then so be it. But yeah, it's tough. And I have two young kids now, so I just have scaled it down every year.
Yeah. And I know, you know, you haven't been doing it this year, but I know from watching some of your GPP review shows last year, and you would do your screen share and you would often, you know, show the kind of the optimal lineups you were looking at, and you would also compare it to some other top pro lineups. Is that kind of a starting point for you when you're building out your lineups, where, you know, you kind of start with the optimal and you start to see, okay, what tweaks can I make and not sacrifice too much, but still give myself to win a GPP?
That's how I like to build. And that's why I usually focus on the Thunderdome, because you can make a few small tweaks off the optimal, still have a highly projected team, and, you know, hopefully get off the board a little bit. I just never feel like the way Leone builds, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Like he's giving up a lot of projection, and it's obviously the right approach to take. I just, like, mentally, after being a cash game player for almost a decade, it's just hard for me to get into that mindset. So I try and build teams that project well, but maybe are a little bit off the board, you know, playing like second tier values type of stuff, and then making sure you have correlation. And some weeks it works better than others. But it's just the way I like to build.
Yeah. So I mean, I've even heard Leone say sometimes he thought he swung too far in that direction, where he was building lineups that, you know, you could realistically toss in the Millie Maker that were also going in a 40 person field. So it seems like everyone's trying to triangulate that sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's worked out pretty well for him this year. So point to Leone on that one.
Yeah, I do think on some slates, and I would say the past couple, it's been very hard for the almost the Leone Galaxy Brain style, just because there's been such strong chalk, not a lot of great pivots. I think this week 17 slate is definitely shaping up as more of a Leone slate, because there are just going to be so many options, and we're seeing chalk condense in a few places. Is that kind of the feel you have for this upcoming slate?
I think so. I don't have a great feel for it yet. I mean, I go through my whole process is like, especially in this COVID era, as I wait till Friday and just start pounding through everything Friday and kind of work all day up until the show. I started yesterday because I had this show, and then we have the earlier established the show. But it's tough. You're still waiting on injuries. Like Antonio Brown didn't practice today, and he's one of the biggest values on the slate. So like, that's going to swing a lot. And it's just like, there's not a lot of plays I like. So I do think it should be a pretty good GPP week. Generally, when you don't have like plays that you know, it's easier to get off the board when the top plays aren't that great. And you know, ownership still usually condenses on the top plays regardless.
Yeah. Are you like one of the leaks in my game, just because I'm busy on Sunday mornings, is like even after inactives, obviously I'm accounting for inactives, but I'm not like updating all my projections and aggregated ownership and stuff, just because I generally don't have the time and it's a mad dash. I know you do Wake and Rake on Sunday mornings. Do you make a habit of rerunning those projections when you're kind of looking at optimals after inactives?
Yeah, I'll keep rerunning throughout the course of the morning. I usually don't make a ton of changes. And the reason we started doing Wake and Rake was because I was thinking, hey, I'm asking Leone these questions anyway. Let's just turn it into a show. And that way I could get off some of the takes maybe I had on Friday that I'd changed throughout the course of the weekend. So in some ways, I think Wake and Rake is maybe even more valuable than the Friday show, just because you're getting where we are, you know, after you just get a lot of information Saturday, mostly with ownership. But I get to ask Leone, like, hey, what are the assumptions you're making when you're doing the projections on these certain plays? And sometimes that's very valuable when you're looking at a number and it doesn't really add up, but he can kind of walk you through how you got there. I mean, Leone and I have arguments all the time where I'll be like, hey, you know, the projection's wrong. He's like, the math is right. The math is right. And, you know, like, usually it's me just leaning on recency bias of like things that have occurred in the last couple of weeks. And he's almost always right about it. But we have some funny arguments over that.
Yeah, I always hear, I'll get messages in our other chat of, you know, Leone being like, I'm getting bullied in the ETR Slack to change this projection.
Yeah. And like Kittle was a big one. He claims that like we were telling him that we were too high on Kittle. And then once he went off, we were saying he's too low. I don't know. That's probably what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel, and I've been talking about this with Leone too, of just, you know, tight ends have been tricky this year for how to approach it. You know, guys like Andrews and Kittle, where they can go stretches of like really hurting you and chewing up a ton of salary. But then of course we see it the past 3 weeks with Mark Andrews, the 2 weeks previous with George Kittle. I mean, they offer a slate breaking, you know, potential at tight end. How have you been kind of thinking through just the tight end position on a whole this year?
Yeah, I'm mostly whiffed at tight end. Man, I played Huntley in the Thunderdome 2 weeks ago, but I didn't have Andrews with him, so I didn't even cash with the 35 ball from Huntley. Yeah, it's tough, man. And this week's no easier. I mean, you're looking at some dust balls like CJ Uzomah, Kmet is back up there, Brevin Jordan. Like, these are the top values I'm seeing. And then you could kind of find yourself in the mid range with Dallas Goedert, which has worked some weeks. Man, I had him stacked that 1 week. Nobody played him. I got 35 out of him, and I still didn't catch Thunderdome that week either because I didn't have Cooper Kupp, who went for like 40. So, yeah, it's been some frustrating runs at tight end. I'm not really sure how I'm going to approach it this week. Maybe Foster Moreau. Yeah, he's a pretty good play.
I know, and it's tough because every, you know, we always say it's like, all right, you either want to pay up, get one of these elite guys who can put up 30 plus, or you want to punt it off. And then every week you're sitting here staring, you're like, all right, Goddard looks good. Schultz looks good. Zach Ertz looks good. Oh, what if Dawson Knox scores 2 touchdowns? Oh, what if Kyle Pitts? And then you get talked into the mid range every time.
Like, I played Gronk in cash last week. That didn't go so hot.
Yeah. I mean, this week, at least with Gronk, if the AB stuff holds, I think there's some interesting stuff here. People got burned by Gronk last week. His price doesn't come down a ton. He's still live, you know, to score a couple of those touchdowns and would offer pretty good leverage on AB. I want to say, was it one of your bigger weeks this year, like a double tight end with Gesicki and Goddard? I remember you having a sick double tight end lineup.
Man, it's so hard to remember. I think that week I took second in the Thunderdome. I think I had Pitts and whoever they were playing. That was the 1 week that Pitts did well.
Yeah.
I forget who they were playing, but yeah, I did good memory, better than mine.
No, I just remember because I always had in that head, it's like, oh, pay up for tight end or punt it off. And then I'm like, well, here's Andrew shipping a GPP with 2 mid-tier tight ends here.
I remember the way that set up was, I think there was a fairly chalky tight end that was a really good play. And I wanted to stack that game. And actually, this goes back to what you're asking earlier, like making pivots off the chalk. It wanted me to play in the flex Brandon Cooks, which wasn't in that game. And Pitts was the same price. So I was like, okay, here's a bring back. I can just play him in the flex instead of Cooks. I'm not giving up that much projection. And, you know, we can talk about Kyle Pitts' projection throughout the course of the year. But yeah, and then you get the natural bring back, and I knew no one was going to play him. So that was like a really easy pit. Like, when things line up like that, you know, you feel really good because you know you're going to get a good play with correlation at low ownership. So that one worked out well, and it happened to be the 1 week where he was actually good all year.
How much are you, because I know if you're kind of starting, your starting point for those Thunderdome lineups is the optimal. How much are you thinking about correlation with those? I've seen another kind of successful strategy in the Thunderdome. I feel like A. Raven does it a decent amount where he'll kind of onslaught a team with a big implied team total. I've seen him do it with the Bucs where he has Brady, Fournette, Gronk, and a pass catcher. How do you think about correlation as it pertains to kind of the optimal?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking to get a game stack basically. So I'll either look at looking at the quarterbacks, like, can I pivot there and find somebody that's low owned? Or you can look at receivers sometimes and find guys that are low owned where maybe the quarterback is going to be played, but you can get the receivers a little bit lower ownership. So that's kind of how I go about that. Like, this week, I'm trying to see if anything really sticks out. I mean, Huntley is not getting projected for much ownership right now. you know, Cup's going to get played, but like maybe you can attack that game with like Marquise Brown. So, you know, Brown's not projecting great, but you can kind of slide him in around some other chalky pieces like that. That's one way you could attack it this week.
Yeah. So kind of looking at, all right, now I'm the pivots you're making. Not only are you pivoting off of some of the bigger chalk, but you're also then leaning into, to getting some correlation with that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Always will have a game stack.
Yeah, and this does seem like it could be an interesting week for, you know, running out some of those naked quarterbacks around other game stacks. You mentioned Huntley. If we get him, Jalen Hurts looks pretty nice to me right now. We might obviously get Trey Lance if Jimmy Garoppolo isn't stubborn enough to go out there. But what do you think of that? Because I know it's something I talk about with Leone a decent bit too, of just like, you know, paying down at quarterback and then still getting the game stacks. You know, without it, I feel like Stafford's always a good example. He's always priced up, hasn't really shown the ceiling, but the guys around him can get there.
Yeah, Trey Lance is going to be a difficult decision this week. He's going to be mega, mega chalk. And for good reason, he stands out as the best play. I mean, it's hard to imagine him failing here. They have a 28.25 team total. Like, he ran it 16 times last time they started. And I think he only scored 15 fantasy points or something like that, but he got stuffed. I thought he was in. There was a player who got stuff on like the 1-inch line, you know. So if he gets in there, he's at 22. I mean, it's just so hard to see him failing, but everyone's going to play him. So, you know, I don't know. You can certainly play him naked. That's how I would approach playing him. And then, yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, what do you think about Trey Lance this week? Assuming, you know, I think Jimmy's almost certainly not going to play.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that there's uncertainty about it. You know, I was teasing Leone that can he dock his projection a little bit, because I don't want people logging into ETR sorting by value and just seeing how much he's sticking out there. So the uncertainty might help keep the ownership just slightly in check. But yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a great play. And I also think you could kind of have your correlation cake and eat it too, where the two lineups I've been fiddling around with today just to kind of see what was possible were, you know, a Chiefs Bengals stack with Lance at quarterback, and then a Cowboys Cardinals stack with Lance at quarterback. And just being like, you know, he could easily match, you know, Dak or Mahomes, and you're saving, you know, $3,000 that you can put to good use elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be like a unique thought.
Yeah.
That Chiefs game's interesting because they're all pretty expensive. So I don't know how much you can't really like stack the whole game and afford it, because there's just not the value this week. So maybe that'll keep the ownership down, but I think a lot of people will say, hey, I can save money with Trey Lance, and then, you know, do some minis in there. And that's why I think Huntley stands out, because he's $800 more. We've gotten projected for a little bit less than 2.5 points less, but like he could beat Trey Lance. He's got somewhat of a similar profile, and nobody's going to play him because they're not going to want to spend up that extra $800 when they can just play Trey.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, as Drico's saying, how do you stack Lance? I think we're both saying you don't stack him. The one thing I would be interested in, I mean, nobody's going to play Debo and Kittle really at these price tags. I would potentially be interested, depending on how the running back situation shakes out, where you play Lance and either, you know, Jeff Wilson, if he's getting the start, or Eli Mitchell, and just try to capture as many touchdowns from that giant team total. I mean, that's the only other angle I think I'd consider.
Yeah. Yeah. And both those running backs are priced up a little bit now too. So yeah, somebody's saying Taysom Hill's another option. We're projecting Taysom for a decent amount of ownership, but I don't really think he's going to be owned either. I think people go cheap with Lance, so they'll get up to Dak, or maybe Mahomes, or yeah, kind of in that range. I mean, I think Dak's going to be quite popular here.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. It seems like, you know, the guy who's still projecting for a lot of ownership that I just haven't heard a lot of people talking about, like, is Josh Allen going to get played at a decent clip? I mean, he's been popping. I know he's in the ETR optimal right now. I mean, do you think he'll be the most popular quarterback?
No, I don't think he'll be the most popular, but we haven't projected very well. We do have him projected for 14% ownership. So I think people will play him, but
yeah,
I don't know, there's been a lot of weeks where he's come in, I think, less than he should. And maybe people just not want to get up to that price tag when there's so many options lower. It seems to me like Dak will be, I think Trey's going to be the most popular. And then I think Dak will probably be the second most popular, would be my bet. And then maybe Josh Allen's the third, maybe not though.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have Mahomes at 5%. I think people are going to want to stack that game. So I think Mahomes will drift up closer to 10, and that'll probably pull ownership from Josh Allen.
Yeah. The other interesting thing for Josh Allen, it's like this whole year and basically his entire career, it's been, hey, they pass, they don't like using the running backs. looking at projections right now, it seems like people are finally coming around on Devin Singletary. People might say, hey, I'll play Singletary and not mess with an $8,000, you know, Josh Allen.
Yeah. And Singletary's, I mean, he's the feature back there now, but if you look at last week, he rushed it 12 times. Allen rushed it 12 times and, you know, they mixed in a couple other guys. So he was like a 43% market share on rushing. I mean, that's not great. He was really involved in the pass game last week, but I think part of that was some of the guys being out. Now I'm pretty sure Beasley's not going to play. I actually haven't looked that closely at the situation, right? Beasley's out, but Davis is back, or do you know what's going on there?
I have not seen updated stuff on that. It does look,
we have Beasley like those in.
Yeah.
I thought maybe he was not going to play cause he's not vaccinated and he wouldn't be cleared in time, but I can't keep up with all the COVID protocols and everything. So, but I do think if they're back, that probably hits Singletary a little bit cause he had like six targets last week and maybe that's not there this week, but then again, yeah. I mean, it's such a good matchup.
How do you, you know, thinking about correlation, but also on a slate like this, where there are 3 to 4 potential shootout games, there's 3 to 4 big favorites with huge team totals. Are you more inclined to lean into just trying to nail the one game that has 70 plus points? Or do you want to kind of smartly pick your spots across there? Because you can handpick, oh, a Rojo here, a Sony Michel here, try to capture all of these points from these different games. Or do you want to lean into a single game?
I think I'll probably mix it up quite a bit this week because I just don't have conviction about any given scenario. So it depends on the week. Like if there's a spot I feel really good about, especially if the ownership looks okay, I probably just lean into that really heavy. Like when I used to 150 the Millie Maker, I would usually just pick one game, partly because I didn't have time to like generate all the different, like I'm just not that adept at doing MME. And if I was focusing on cash and my leagues and everything, I wanted to make sure I could just generate 150 pretty quickly. So I just pick one game. Pick one quarterback and then, you know, I could get the bring backs and everything, which, you know, it mostly misses, but then you end up having some pretty big weeks. So that was always fun, but I haven't won 50 in quite a while. I haven't done it once all year. And really what I've been doing most of the year is just building one, maybe two GPP lineups. Just keep it simple, but yeah, like I said, this week I'm going to do 6. So it's going to be a little bit different. I think I'll probably spread it out quite a bit.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, because that's always my temptation. It's like I'm normally building, you know, 3 to 4 lineups on my own. I generally have a tight player pool at like tight end and running back. But then it's just always so irresistible for me to cycle through 3 to 4 different stacks versus being like, hey, this is my conviction stack. Let me slice it a couple different ways. So do you think with your entries into the big millionaire that you'll run out a bunch of different stacks, or do you think you will get concentrated?
No, I think I'll run a bunch of different stacks, and I'll probably stay fairly concentrated at running back because I don't see that many running backs that are playable, frankly. I'll have to see. I'm going to have Leone talk me into some of the more fringe ones. And then wide receivers so crappy that I think I'll just spread a bunch of different wide receivers because nobody's really standing out there.
Yeah. I mean, the elephant in the room for wide receiver, and let's work under the assumption that Antonio Brown plays. I know he didn't practice, so that one would certainly shake things up. But, you know, at this, you know, I'm seeing anywhere from 35 to 40% ownership, probably higher on him in small field stuff. I mean, is this good chalk or bad chalk?
Well, I think it's going to come down because Mike Davis is going to play, but he's still going to be, I mean, people are going to want to play him after last week. But yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to see what I haven't even checked what Mike Davis's price is actually. I mean,
Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I meant to say Mike Evans. I don't know why I was saying
Mike Evans. I was like, oh man. Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Davis. That's not a name you want to hear. So Mike Evans is 7K. Yeah. I mean, 900 more, but yeah, he got activated. He's going to play what they were saying this morning. So I'd be more interested in paying up for him than Antonio Brown, especially if he's healthy. But yeah, that whole team's kind of an interesting situation. I think Brown, you know, assuming he goes, would still catch more ownership than Evans.
Yeah. Yeah. People love playing Antonio Brown, and his price does stand out. I think if I have this correctly, Leone has him projected for the second highest ceiling on the slate for wide receivers after Cooper Kupp. So anytime you're getting that for 6,100, I get it. But I also love just with Evans, if he opens up with Gronk and Rojo, like there's pretty direct leverage spots, and it's not absurd to think that the touchdowns could go somewhere else other than Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I was pretty surprised at the Gronk ownership last week. I thought he was the cash tight end. Quite a few people played him in cash, but he ended up being like 10% in Thunderdome. I didn't really catch what he was in some other stuff, but He was not that owned in GPP. So people probably, we have him at 6%. I mean, that's pretty clear leverage. But yeah, I think it'll all switch a little bit as Evans gets projected in by the other sites. I think we're the only one that has him in right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I've definitely been hearing this a bit too about Evans having lingering COVID issues. I think people also have in the back of their head, you know, it was supposed to be a smash spot for Tyreek Hill last week coming off the COVID list. He didn't really perform. I mean, is this stuff that you're trying to think through, play a little armchair doctor or just trust the projections?
I mean, I should. I was mocking Leone for knocking Tyreek last week, but then Tyreek said after the game that he felt winded and didn't feel good. They also didn't need him. So I don't know. It's tough to say. I wanted to look and see what the situation is for Tampa Bay, like if they're going to have to try next week, because one thing worth noting is that Evans is 100 yards away from 1,000. And like you can bet your ass that Brady's going to get him that 1,000 yards, because he's at 1,000 yards every single year he's been in the league, which is pretty sweet. I'm curious if they will be playing him next week. It looks like probably not. They've clinched. What does Z mean? Clinched division. I don't know. I'll have to look at it closer. But yeah, that's something to keep in mind too. You can be certain he's going to get at least 100 yards between the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Levitan had the tweet up with a couple of these other incentives, record chasing.
It, the AB one cracked me up. Like, come on, like that really matters.
You know, $333,000 bonus on each of those. But yeah, the Mike Evans one, I mean, that was a stat that I was parroting, you know, this offseason. I mean, it's just been insane how consistent he's been. And, you know, if there's one team too that's willing to record chase, that's willing to not take their feet off the gas of the passing game, it's the Bucs here. So, and we also know Tom Brady, I'm guessing, still doesn't care for the Jets much from his Patriots days. I'm sure he has no problem running up the score on the Jets.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier to lean into this stuff in the last week because you kind of know what's, you know, it's like, okay, they got to get it this week or they're not getting it. So I'm probably not going to wait it too much, but it's worth keeping in mind. And there was like that year when Kittle needed like 150 yards week 17 to break the record, and he got, you know, like 200. So it's a good tiebreaker in now week 18.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. You mentioned, you know, wide receiver being a little gross this week, definitely from a value standpoint. I mean, is there anyone under, you know, 4,500 other than like Braxton Berrios that interests you at all?
No, that's the thing. Braxton Berrios is going to be really chalky, and I really don't have much interest in playing him.
Yeah.
You've got, it's like him and Zay Jones are the guys, the cheap guys. I mean, there's Laquan Treadwell. I mean, it's ugly out there, man. I mean, Gallup's 4.8, and he's actually not projecting for that much ownership. So at least he has a bit of a ceiling, but we haven't really seen it from him lately. So I think he's kind of interesting. It's bad, man. I don't know. Does anyone jump out for you?
No, I haven't had anyone jump out at me. And it's interesting too, because, you know, if you run optimals right now with ETR projections, like you don't get a lot of Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp showing up in optimals because there isn't value that's really, you know, facilitating them into lineup. So that'll be interesting. I feel like if you do want to get up to those guys, you're probably going to have to punt it off at tight end just because there's really no other way to find savings.
Yeah. It's really unusual to be at this point in the season, especially with all the COVID stuff, and not have more value.
Yeah. I still think I could definitely see, just with how much the news continues to change, you know, maybe we'll get some of these late breaking guys that open up here. I am curious too, if there's some spots where, like, what is Isaiah McKenzie's salary this week?
It's probably like 4K. It's probably too much.
Cause I was thinking through like a couple of these guys who popped last week, who might be able to still maintain their roles, like an Isaiah McKenzie, like a Byron Pringle. You know, like wondering if just doubling down on these guys when the field's off, if that could work.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, if Beasley's back, I don't think McKenzie's going to be getting the snaps. And then Pringle, like, he was operating basically the number one receiver for them.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's up to, and since they did so well, I mean, Pringle, I'm seeing 4.1. I don't see McKenzie's 4.3. So it's like,
yeah,
the prices have jumped and now their role is going to decrease. So it's, and I think people might still play him a little bit just because of what they did last week. I don't know. Maybe not, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's, somebody mentioned, you know, Marvin Jones. Like, he finally had a bunch of targets last week, but they have a 12 team total against the Patriots. And you would think he's the number one out, you know, with the Belichick, take the number one option away. I guess it's Marvin Jones, right? So I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I love Christian Kirk, but he's 5,800. I'm trying to dumpster dive down here, you know,
Robbie Anderson, is, I guess, you know, on the list. Levitan, let's see, was he Levitan does an article of guys under 5K. So yeah, he's got Gallup, Berrios, Robbie Anderson, worth watching, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley. I guess maybe you could play Beasley. And then Cortland Sutton, whose target share has come up a little bit, but man, yeah, it's bad.
I know. I tweeted it out earlier, but just seeing in my spreadsheet, Allen Robinson and Braxton Berrios next to each other, $100 difference and similar ceiling. It was just like life comes at you fast.
Yeah. I mean, maybe DJ Moore at 5'6". At least he's a good player, even though he hasn't really had the results.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the mid-tier at wide receiver doesn't look too bad in that 5K range. You know, you have Kirk, you have Pittman. Any love for Jacoby Myers? It looks like he's projecting decently right now.
Not really. I mean,
yeah,
he scored that one touchdown finally. Has he scored any other touchdowns this year?
I don't think so.
So, I mean, that's just tough in tournaments if he's never scoring. And I think, you know, the Patriots are going to control that game. They're just going to run. So I don't think they'll be throwing much.
One team that I feel like I haven't seen discussed and the ownership would seem to reflect it, but their team total isn't bad is the Chargers. And you have Eckler, you have Keenan, Mike Williams. Any interest there? Is that getting too cute on a slate like this?
I did list Eckler, I think, as the sixth running back on DraftKings just because you got to list somebody. And I'm pretty sure they need to win that game. I need to look in a little bit more at some of these team, you know, what their motivations are, but I think they need to win it. Denver defense has played very, very well over the second half of the season. So that's not ideal, but it's at least in LA. They do have a good team total. Yeah. I think Eckler's kind of interesting. Really anyone you can make a case for on that team, just cause I think they have to win, but yeah, the Denver defense has not been messing around.
Yeah. Have you been thinking at all for this slate as far as late swap stuff? We do have Denver Chargers. We have the Houston San Francisco game, Carolina, New Orleans, Arizona, Dallas, and Detroit, Seattle all late. It does seem like it's setting up for a week to be pretty flexible with your late swaps.
Yeah, I loved it last week. All my players start at 1 p.m. So I could close the lid early and I didn't have to worry about making some dumb swap. I knew I was just going to lose all my money. And I can move on with my life. But no, I haven't looked at it too closely. I mean, it looks like most of the players are going to be early. Outside, you have Trey Lance late. And then, yeah, I do think that Arizona-Dallas game is pretty interesting. But like I said, it's like Dak's probably going to catch ownership. But you look at some of the receivers, like CD is not getting projected that much, at least on DraftKings. He's going to be pretty chalky on FanDuel, I think. It's just tough for people to pull the trigger on the receivers over there because they don't really know who's going to give them the output. I think Gallup will be the most owned just because he's the cheapest. And we just talked about how there's no value and you can always kind of just say, okay, well, it's Dallas, you know, whatever, I'll play Gallup. You know, and Kirk, like his price is up. So like you can look at some stacks where you're not getting him at single digit ownership, but I think you're looking at low teens and like that's a game that could shoot out for sure.
Yeah, and I've tried to be cautious of these scenarios because it's played out a few times this year where you do have the quarterback projecting for a lot of ownership. I remember it with a Hurts week, and I'm like, oh, Devonta Smith is, you know, 5%. But then all of a sudden he comes in at 15% because, well, everyone decides they're going to stack with the quarterback. And it's like, I kind of wonder too, like you said, with Gallup, if there's a disconnect right now where Gallup's going to come along for the Dak ride in those double stacks. And, you know, I see him at around like 6% right now. I mean, I would assume that's at least double that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think it'll be like 15 to 20, but how about playing Kyler Murray? I mean, nobody's going to play Kyler Murray.
No, they're not. I mean, I assume what Kirk and Ertz would be the most logical, or do we have any old man love for AJ Green?
I can't do AJ Green, but yeah, Ertz. I mean, at least that's one of the nice things too that I try and do in stacks is like if you can get a tight end in that game and then you just don't really have to overthink it, it's like, okay, just play the correlation at tight end and move on. And Ertz has been the target leader there, I believe, over the last few, you know, basically since Hopkins went down. Ertz price is okay. I think it's high enough that he won't catch too much ownership. 5-2 over on DraftKings. I'd probably play him because then you can just check off. And you, I don't know, Kyler's not the best guy to double stack because you're hoping he gets it on the ground, but you potentially could, and then have like a CD bring back like that. I think I'll certainly have a team like that in the 2K.
And I honestly, I mean, depending on how this stuff shakes out with James Conner, who continues to miss practice, I mean, the hope I would think is James Conner is questionable or a true game time decision. The projections never able to kind of solidify. And I mean, Chase Edmonds without James Conner in that late game would, I mean, that would probably be the leverage point of the slate.
Yeah. And I think if Conner's out, that helps Kyler too. So, pretty interesting there. So I haven't really followed him closely either. Is he not practiced all week? It looks like
he hasn't been practicing.
Yeah. Everybody's projecting him in at the moment, but, that would be nice if there's some uncertainty there.
Yeah. Cause I think I would definitely be okay. Like I was building some of those, like I was saying, and you talked me down of saying I wasn't being sneaky, but you know, stuff with like you play Schultz and Lamb, and then you get in, you know, Kirk and Edmonds as kind of a little game stack around there late, but you probably have to blow that up if your early stuff doesn't hit as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think that it'll be owned a little bit, but nothing crazy. So if all those guys are probably gonna be like around 10%, which I think that's fine.
All right, let's talk some running backs. David Montgomery at 30%, and that could be even higher now that we lost Antonio Gibson here. Montgomery, good or bad chalk?
I think he's okay chalk. I mean, he's just had a huge workload. The one thing I'd point out is that the Bears have been trailing most of their recent games, and so he's been getting a lot of targets. You wouldn't necessarily count on that, but if they're ahead, like, you know, they'll grind the clock with him, and they're playing the Giants like at home. They're pretty big favorites, I think. What's the Giants? What's the spread on that game? Like 6 or something?
Let's see. Yeah. The Giants. Yeah. 37 over under.
I mean, that tells you how bad the Giants are, that the Bears are 6-point favorites, because the Bears stink. So I don't know. I think he's fine. I probably wouldn't make a big stand one way or the other. I mean, certainly you're going to want him in cash games.
Yeah. I think with Gibson coming out, I mean, that ownership is going to have to slide to Montgomery, Rojo, or Sony Michel. I assume all three of those pick up a little bit more now.
I think those are the three chalk backs in cash.
Yeah.
What's Patterson's price? Because that news was breaking right before we came on.
I think he's 4,800.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
It's tough, too, because I was just talking about this on Osmo's show, and he was looking at the splits when Gibson left the game last week, and they were giving a lot of the receiving work to Jonathan Williams and their, you know, 6-point underdogs or whatever against Philly. So I don't know. I want to talk myself into Jarrett Patterson, but it could be a pretty fragile spot.
Yeah. I wish, you know, if he was in the low 4Ks, I think I'd be a lot more interested, but that's tough.
Yeah. What about like a guy who had looked pretty intriguing to me, and I'm guessing we're not going to get CEH, but Darrell Williams at 5,800 here, I'm seeing sub 10% in any interest in him.
Yeah. I think he's definitely interesting. I mean, they have 28 team total. People don't really want to click on him. We've got him at 12%, you know, as he drifts, like if he drifts into like 15 to 20% range, I'm not so interested, but if he's in the like 8 to 12, then yeah, I think he's very viable.
What is your read on this game? You would think with like the box score watchers and, you know, how big of a game Burrow had last week that, you know, Higgins and Chase would be carrying more ownership, but they don't look like they're going to be super chalky right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Higgins' price is just getting up there. I think it's close to 7K. Chase is 7.6. That's what I was saying, that this game is pretty difficult to stack because everyone's priced up and we don't really have the value. So I think that's kind of the issue at play here, that all those guys are secondary values. And if you want to stack the game, then you're really dumpster diving. So I'm going to try and make it work. I haven't built a team yet stacking that game, but it's probably going to be more like what you were implying earlier in the show, where you play like Trey Lance and then have like a mini stack, you know, like Tyreek and Higgins or something like that.
Yeah. I guess the one nice thing about that game stack is Uzoma. Although maybe now he's going to be popular because
I think he's going to be reasonably popular just because you need to play somebody cheap. And same thing at tight end. There's really no sub 3K guy, maybe Brevin Jordan, but I don't know. So really, I think Uzoma is going to be the most popular. Maybe I like Foster Moreau better for a little bit more expensive, but I, you know, and this is why it's kind of tough because you're just guessing on some of the ownership at this point. But yeah, I think Uzoma is probably the most owned tight end if I had to guess right now.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I granted, we saw it. What was it earlier in the season where he had that 2-touchdown game and he actually like looked pretty good in the open field. But I mean, he's just not a guy you want to be playing.
Well, yeah, I was looking to stack that game last week, and unfortunately I backed off after Huntley was out. But you look at Uzoma's game log and it's like, you remember that where he had the big game, but then that was like 8 weeks ago. And since then, I don't know if he's had more than 10 fantasy points. So yeah, I mean, maybe it's there, but it's tough to count on.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's real gross at tight end. I don't even mind those like 2,500, like Brevin Jordan type plays. I mean, I feel like he's been averaging 5 to 6 targets a game of late.
I got him at 4.5 targets over the last 4 games, and he's averaged 9.1 DraftKings points. So, I mean, you'd be thrilled with 9 points at that price tag.
Yeah. Yeah. Tight end will be interesting. Do you think, how are you handling, you know, that we still don't know for certain who's going to play quarterback for the Ravens, but like, can Mark Andrews put up a 4th straight 30 burger here this week?
I mean, I don't see why not at this point. That game should be a shootout, I think. I think it's going to be Huntley too. I'm pretty sure. I guess Lamar could be back, but it sure doesn't seem like it. So I'm counting on Huntley at this point, and he seems to like Mark Andrews. People aren't going to play Mark Andrews at that price tag. So yeah, I think these Huntley stacks are pretty intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw the video yesterday, Lamar at practice, and I mean, he could barely walk, and as well as these backup quarterbacks have been playing, it seems like it would make sense to just get him healthy for the playoffs and toss out Huntley. Yeah, you're definitely kind of, you know, bringing me around on this idea of not getting just tunnel vision on Lance if his ownership gets so high, and you could have, I don't know, arguably a similar ceiling at what might end up being a fifth of the ownership.
Yeah, when like that's where you could play like Huntley and Andrews. Both of them are going to be, I think Huntley probably like 8% and Andrews probably like 5. I just don't think people are going to play that price tag on the slate with how tough it is to spend. Like, they're not going to spend on tight end. Maybe I'm wrong because he's been so good, but yeah. So say 5% there, then you could play like Kupp and Michelle, like they're going to be chalky, and then play a couple other guys a little bit off the board. And like, you've got a pretty highly projected team that, you know, I think is doing okay on ownership and has a game stack.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't tried to build any lineups yet with Kupp, but I need to do it as an exercise and just see what kind of if you're getting Kupp and Andrews into a lineup, you're really hurting. You basically have to go with 3.
You've got Huntley for a cheap play, and then
yeah,
and then I think you could probably fill it out with, you know, a bunch of like 5K receivers, which we don't really love any of them, but there's a bunch of them you can rotate through. I think you can do it.
Let's try it. We'll I'll get the screen up. We can transition to everyone's favorite part of the program, where we build a lineup that will be not relevant in probably a few hours, but that's what we do. I will also share the link here in the chat. This is the Deposit Kingdom League. It is rake free, $10, 400 man tournament. Last week, Andrew, we had 399 out of 400. I didn't fill my rake free league by one person.
I don't know. It's got to be a sign of some sort. I don't know what it means, but it means something. Well,
I went with my tail between my legs to my DK rep, Nathan, and I said, look, man, we got to make it smaller. I let you down. And he's like, I'm not going to hold it against you. Christmas, all the holidays. So we still have 400. Do not make me look silly in front of Nathan again.
Don't do it, people.
I should also mention, too, for all of you rake free grinders out there, there is the ETR me. I hate that pun. I'm sorry. But there is the ETR me listener league as well. It's a 3 max for $5. You can get access to that in the ETR Discord. Highly recommend hopping in that one as well. Should we try this? You want to see how
let's do it. Like, I'm curious. I'm just looking at Twitter too. Levitans was tweeting that the word on Antonio Brown is he tweaked his ankle. He has a chance to play on Sunday. So that is not what you want to hear. I think even if he goes, I would say we'll probably, you know, ding him a little bit, 10-15% or something like that. That's going to pull his ownership way down, right? I mean, people are going to get scared. So now you've got a situation where maybe if he ends up playing, maybe his ownership is single digits and he's a good play. I don't know.
That is going to be super interesting. And also with, like we're saying, how value starved we are at wide receiver. I mean, we could see Kirk and Gallup now really start to get pushed, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, so where would we go with this? Would we want to toss in Sony here as well?
I mean, I think you got to have Sony in there. Yeah. Just hoping this game goes berserk. Like, Sony, I believe, has been the highest scoring running back over the last like 4 to 5 weeks, more than Jonathan Taylor. Is that right?
I can't be right. That I heard something like that. Rich. Yeah, I think that's probably rich.
Maybe it was the most carries. That might make more sense. It was. Yeah, it must be that.
Yeah, his workload has been insane.
Don't listen to anything I'm saying. I listened to all these podcasts over the weekend, and I like try and remember it, and it just becomes a mishmash. There's something that Sony Michel has done over the last 4 weeks that's good. Write that down.
I'm in the same boat. I always say my analogy for doing like GPP content throughout the week is, you know, you update everything, you try to, you know, give the best information with what's available, and then I just do the Men in Black mind eraser thing because I know like when I go to look at the slate again tomorrow and Sunday, it's going to just be completely different.
Well, I'm glad I get to workshop all my bullshit stats before the ETR show in a couple hours here.
That's what it is. You know, we're all had to get you nice and warmed up here. So is there anything else that you would push in this game, or would you pump the brakes here?
I think that's probably enough in that game. And then you're going to have to get a little bit off the board on some of these next picks. The other thing, you know, the one thing we haven't talked about as well is defense, where there's no cheap defenses this week.
I know.
Which is kind of wild.
I was just going to try to actually find a placeholder defense for us to save money. Like, I guess the one that looks the best to me would be Washington at 2,500. I mean, we can upgrade it, but I'm guessing we're going to need the salary.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that gives us 4,800 per. We are going to have to find, we're going to have to find one of those wide receivers. We didn't want to play down there.
Yeah. So I think we'll play probably two, right? Maybe we go with Jarrett Patterson begrudgingly.
Kind of get the correlation with the defense, play that game script how we want it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do you eat the Gallup chalk, or is this lineup too chalky that we, I mean, Andrews is going to be unique.
Yeah, Andrews for sure, but everything else. And Huntley is kind of unique. So that's why, like, we're doing okay there, but Kupp and Michelle are going to be really, really chalky.
Yeah. And where I'm with you, like, I'm not playing a chalky Braxton Berrios.
No, forget that. We could play Zay Jones. Are people going to play Zay Jones?
I hope not.
He's averaged 7.3 targets over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the correlation, bro, in me is kind of like, I wouldn't mind, you know, maybe using Zay Jones on your Jonathan Taylor teams and just, you know, hope you get a little.
Can we do a little Zay Pittman mini in here and then see where can we afford that?
Yeah, I do. I love Pittman.
Yeah. And then we got how much left?
47.
Okay. That's workable. There's got to be somebody we can play there.
Yeah. Let's see here.
We could play like Courtland Sutton. Maybe we could upgrade our defense too. Sutton's game log. Let's see how ugly that's been. I know
the narrative is, you know, he's supposed to have a better connection with Locke, right? Throwing the deep ball down.
Yeah. Well, like you guys were cheering that over, you know, when he hit a 16 yard catch late in the game to get to what was that 31.
I wasn't cheering that. Let's say that was Leone sweating out his prop bets.
Somebody's saying, isn't Edwards going to be back? I mean, Jesus Christ, I have no fucking clue. I don't know if I can swear on the show, but there you have it.
More than welcome. Let it rip.
I haven't been following Zay Jones and the freaking Raiders and all their receivers. So I have no idea, but I'm looking at his projection and it's fine. 9.5, you know, and he's sub 4K, but yeah.
I think the moral of this lineup is, you know, insert value wide receiver here. You're going to have to find and get creative with one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys get the idea though.
Do you think just seeing, let's just say that this kind of holds and we don't get a value thing, would you consider this as like a double tight end week? Because I'm guessing some of these 4,000 tight ends are going to project better than the 4,500 wide receivers.
I mean, let's compare them. I mean, when you're looking at like Zach Ertz is 12 points. He's 5'2". I guess when you're looking at like 5K.
What about like Hunter Henry? Like, would you rather have 4,200 Hunter Henry or Courtland Sutton at 4,500?
Yeah. I think you want neither, frankly.
You can't play all 9K players, Wiggins.
You know who I played last week and I still kind of like? And let's see. We could get. You know, like one way you could go about this, maybe we play Marquise Brown and you play Higbee, but then we'd have to drop. You don't want three you don't want three Rams coming back, but I think Higbee's kind of interesting. And yeah. he had a little bit of a better, like he's been a little bit better of late. And I think last week he had like 10 points. I mean, really you just need him to find the end zone and he's going to be good for 4K. So I am interested in him. I mean, shit, is anyone going to play Stafford, man? I mean, he was chalk last week and what did he give us, like 7 points or something? I played him in cash. What an asshole.
I don't think people are going to play Stafford. There's so many of the good, you know, rushing QBs you can roll out naked, and Stafford's expensive.
Yeah, 7-1. But you could do like a Stafford. See, this is why I don't build lineups on air, because like you just get all over the place. But you could do like a Stafford Cup Higbee. Don't play Michelle. That's kind of an interesting build that no one's going to go at.
Yeah. Yeah, I it's still, for me, I love the idea of using, you know, one of these rushing quarterbacks with the and fading Stafford, just because there are so many paths to fail, and we just haven't really seen a ceiling from him. I guess 26 points at Green Bay is fine, but
yeah, I think he has some in the like 30s from earlier in the year.
Yeah,
he was like the number one. I think he was right up there as the top quarterbacks earlier in the year. As I throw out more bullshit stats that I can't, he was definitely the number one quarterback at one point. But I will make a point, you know, when we building with Andrews, like it's hard. So that just, I really do think Andrews is going to come in at like 5%, despite how well he's been playing.
Yeah. I will also say I was mentioning Chase Edmonds potentially being one of the bigger leverage points. Someone mentioned, you know, is Eli Mitchell back? I feel like that's another one where if that's kind of a game time decision or truly questionable heading in, like, I talked about this with, was it with Levitan? I can't even remember now who I talked about, but the team loves, Eli Mitchell. And so I would feel pretty confident if he's active that they're going to give him the majority of the work and it wouldn't be a split with Jeff Wilson. So I feel like that could be a good thing to keep tabs on as well.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't know, but people aren't going to want to play him. And, we have seen when he's been out there, he's been the guy. So I think we're projecting him in at the moment. I think he's probably going to play, but I don't know. It's tough to say at this point. Yeah. Do we have him in? No, we don't. Lab. Oh no, that is us. We have him in. No, we don't. Sorry. Labs has him in.
Yeah. I just can't get out of my head the week where they, you know, wrapped up his hand, you know, in a club and it was like, oh, there's no way he's going to do anything. And then he caught like six balls with his entire hand wrapped up. I'm like, all right, Shanahan loves this guy.
He does. And that's the other thing about Trey Lance, is that Shanahan does not like Trey Lance.
No.
So yeah. Not great.
I mean, what do you think? Like, Trey Lance to me feels like, I mean, his floor in this matchup is so high. I mean, what do you think his ceiling is here? And if he accesses it, like one of Debo or Kittle or Ayuk is coming along for the ride.
I mean, not necessarily, because I think his ceiling is if he runs for 100 yards and two touchdowns, right?
Okay.
So, but I think he'd get in the 30s. It's kind of similar to like what Huntley did a couple weeks ago, where he just, you know, ran a bunch. I think a lot of that was on the ground.
Yeah, let's look at that one. Yeah, that was. Yeah, so he had 35 fantasy points, 40 pass attempts, and it was the two rushing TDs
and 73 on the ground.
Ceiling. Yeah.
So that's kind of like that line right there is basically what I would think is the ceiling for Lance. Like, gets a little done through the air, but most of it on the ground.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in play. Well, guys, I appreciate you letting us kind of talk through this, run into dead ends, but this is part of the GPP process. You fiddle with things, you see what's possible. Then when, you know, value opens up, you kind of remember some of these build ideas that are possible.
Yeah, I think it's an important part of the process. And then when things start really changing, particularly like when the season's like this, where things can change a lot on Sunday morning, like you've already gone through a lot of different avenues and you can kind of think back to that. And, you know, it's just putting in the reps basically. So I do think it's important to just try different things, see what works, get some ideas. Don't get too stuck on anything at this point in the week, because like it's Friday. I mean, we haven't even seen the injury reports for the day today. Like, so much is going to change, but just have some ideas. And then as things change, like, you're better prepared than people that haven't gone through the exercise.
That's what I do. Like, I was building a couple of those Trey Lance lineups this morning, and then later this afternoon, I'm just going to remove them from my spreadsheet, because the worst thing is when you come back and you start to fall in love with these, it's like, just get them out of my head, because you do really have to look at the information with a fresh set of eyes, because so much will have changed from when I built these.
Yep.
Wiggins, what else you have going on? You said you're going to about to hop over and record Establish the Show. Of course, Wake and Rake, anything else that should be on the people's radar over at ETR?
Nope. Don't follow me on Twitter. I don't ever tweet anything but fish links, basically. So I guess if you like fish, you can follow me or Billy
there
Strings.
There you go. Have you gotten, I know you're in the NFT streets a little bit, but with your background, I feel like you should get one of the Peaceful Groupie NFTs. Have you seen those?
I'm as far as in the NFT world, like I buy fractional punks with you, but no, I don't. I'm looking this up right now. What's it called? Peaceful what?
I'm going to put it on the screen because this is like perfectly your vibe here with this screen. I feel like these are the Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, I like that NFT. Top left one. Okay.
Yeah. The psychedelic backgrounds there. I was like, I could just picture a Peaceful Groupie as part of your psychedelic background there.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. All right. I managed to pump some of my bags there. Thank you guys for hanging out. I'm going to be back at 4 p.m. Going to do a little hang with some of the mods/bouncers from the Deposit Kingdom Discord. Have a few cocktails, celebrate a very fun year. Appreciate Andrew hopping on. I'll, of course, be back on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. You can catch Wake and Rake and then go back to back right into my GPP show. We'll get you guys set for the slate. Andrew, have a wonderful New Year's. We will catch you guys later.